So we're going to begin. This is part three of the prodigies of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Jesus tells Louisa that the church does not yet understand who Mary is. We have understandings from the saints. We have understandings from our theology, our dogma, and our doctrine. But Jesus says he wants us to know who his mother is. And so he says, I, as the Son of God, am going to reveal to the world who my mother is. We're going to understand Our Lady more than we ever have before. And in the divine will, we fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. We fall more in love with Jesus. So we're on volume 18 at this point, on part three. And after this, I began to think of the feast of my celestial mama assumed into heaven. My sweet Jesus, with a tender and moving tone, added, my daughter, the true name of this feast should be the feast of the divine will. So, Assumption, August 15th, is the feast day of the divine will. And all of us should, on that day, celebrate Our Lady as Mother and Queen. Because what Our Lady has happened to her is going to happen to us. We are going to be in heaven with a body and a soul. See, right now, heaven is not complete. Everyone in heaven is a spirit, a soul, but there's only two bodies in heaven. That's Jesus and Mary. What we are supposed to, as St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us, we're supposed to have a body and a soul. So heaven is not perfect yet. So the whole reason for the gift of the divine will, Jesus tells us, is that Louisa and us linked to Louisa, are calling heaven to earth. So we're saying, come divine will. We're calling this fire to earth. And it's the fire of God's love, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So their hearts are on fire. This love of God is going to come upon the earth and consume the world in love. Our senses are made for love. We're to see love, hear love, smell love, taste love, and touch love. This is why we were created. And the whole reason for our senses is to fall in love with God. Now, God is the most beautiful. He is the most holy. He is the most perfect of all. And this is the reason we don't see him. If we saw God, we would die. He's so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect that our senses at this point cannot embrace God. What the divine will is going to do is the divine will is going to teach us how to begin to live a life that has never been seen. It's the life that Adam had. It's the life that Jesus and Mary possessed, but they did not do anything, you know, exteriorly. Our Lady created no miracles. But she was the mother of God, Theotokos. She was the mother of God. Jesus is the Son of God. The new Adam and the new Eve, this life of Jesus and Mary is now given to us. So the whole reason for the Our Father, the only prayer that Jesus taught us, is to pray, may your kingdom come on earth in me as the saints now possess it in heaven, in each of us. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? So now what God is going to do is he's going to show us how to live this life. So the first thing Jesus teaches us in volume 18 here is that the feast day of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother is the feast day of the divine will. And Jesus tells us that the image of Our Lady of the Divine Will is the Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. Now think about that. Jesus on Mount Tabor is clothed with the sun. Mary at Guadalupe is clothed with the sun. This is the life that our God wants us to possess. It's not just human, but he's calling us to the divine. And if you read Peter, the epistles of St. Peter talks about divinization, to be divinized, to become like God. The priest every day at Holy Mass puts a drop of water into the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Now that drop of water, which represents us, as that drop of water enters into the wine, it fuses and diffuses and that drop of water becomes wine. That's what God wants us to share in His divinity. So it's not oil and water. It's never separated. So what the Lord is asking of us is that as we understand what God gave to Louisa, when we understand the truths that He dictated to Louisa, we begin to live a life of heaven and no longer a life of earth. So Jesus says, it was the human will that closed heaven. It broke the bonds with its creator, made miseries and sufferings enter the field, and put an end to the feast that the creature was to enjoy in heaven. Now, this creature, the Blessed Mother, the Queen of all, by doing the will of the Eternal One, always and in everything, even more it can be said that the Blessed Mother's life was divine will alone. She opened the heavens. She bound herself to the Eternal One, Triune God. She restored in heaven the feasts with the souls, with humans. So that's why we love Our Lady so much. That's why we have statues of Our Lady inside our house and outside of our house, and they should be crowned. We want the world to know that she is our mother, she is our queen. The same thing inside the house, the pictures that we have. We make sure that she is honored. She is the one, as Jesus says here, by doing the will of God, always and in everything, her life was divine. She opened the heavens. She bound herself to the Eternal One, the Triune God. She restored in heaven the feasts with the souls, with humans. Every act that Our Lady did in the Supreme Will was a feast that she started in heaven. It was the sons that she formed to adore this feast. It was the melodies that Our Lady sent to delight the heavenly Jerusalem. So as we get to know the Blessed Mother through Louisa, we are hearing from Jesus himself about his mother. The world does not yet know how beautiful the Blessed Mother is. Catholics don't know how beautiful the Blessed Mother is. Solomon crowned his mother, Bathsheba, Queen of Jerusalem. Now, when you go to the church in Rome, St. Mary Major, the Church of Our Blessed Mother, you look at the dome, and in the dome, there's Jesus sitting, and Mary is at her right, and he's crowning his Blessed Mother. The Son always crowns his mother. The King always crowns the mother as queen. So our job is to recognize who Our Lady is. She's mother and queen, and to honor her. We don't worship her, but we honor her as mother, as queen. Therefore, the true cause of this feast is the eternal will operating and fulfilled in Mary, the Celestial Mama. So the true cause of the Feast of the Assumption is the eternal will that's operated and fulfilled in Mary. It operated such prodigies in Our Lady as to astonish both heaven and earth. It was the chain of the Eternal One with indissoluble bonds of love and enraptured the Word Jesus, and even from her womb. Again, here we see this great love that God has for a creature. See, our God is humble. Our God is so humble that He wants to be held. So at Christmas, we see the Pope carrying the infant Jesus. All of us should have an infant Jesus. All of us should be able to kiss Jesus. When you kiss the cross, Jesus said that I will accept it as you actually kissing me. So when we venerate the cross, we are saying to Jesus, if you were here, I would kiss your feet. If you were here, I would kiss your hands. And Jesus says, I will accept that. As if you kiss the cross, it's it will be as you're actually kissing me. So our God is so humble, he's so little, that even after he died on the cross, he wanted Mary to hold him. You know, the pietà. We have to get to understand that our God isn't 1,000 miles away. He wants to be so close to us that he's closer to us than our breath. And that's what the saints say. So as we learn how to pray in the divine will, Lord Jesus, come breathe in my breathing. Lord Jesus, come beat in my heart beating. Lord Jesus, come reign in me. Come walk in my walking. Come swim in my swimming. Come dance in my dancing. We are never alone again. We are always with God. God is always with us. We are never lonely anymore. It's Jesus is with us. And today, what we'll do is the mystical marriage. We will have a little ceremony where we will accept Jesus' proposal. Now, in Volume 2, February 28, 1899, the very first day Louisa wrote in her writings, she said that you must start the divine will with the mystical marriage. Okay, this mystical marriage only the greatest saints in the world possess. So it's presumptuous to say, I have the mystical marriage. We're not great saints. As a matter of fact, we are probably the least. Yet Jesus is asking us, Jesus is pleading with us to accept this wedding proposal. God came to earth for a bride. God came to earth for a spouse. And he's going to marry us individually as well as collectively. So in the Jewish faith, when a man is falls in love and he sees the woman that he wants to marry, he makes a contract with the father. And then he goes to the family and he sits at the table and he pours a glass of wine and he drinks it and then he sets it in front of his bride to be. And if she accepts it, he immediately stands up and he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I'm going to take you with me. So he goes to his father's house and they build the wedding chamber, the bridal chamber. The father is the only one that knows how to build it. And only when it's done properly does the father say to the son, you can go back for your bride. Now that's what Jesus said. Jesus says he's going to go away and he's going to come back because he's preparing a place for us. The whole reason for heaven, Jesus says, is it's the nuptial feast. It's the wedding feast. At Holy Mass, the canopy over the altar, and there should be a canopy over the altar, it symbolizes the bridal chamber. When the priest puts his elbows on the altar and consumes the host, that is symbolizes the consummation between God and man. And that's one of the reasons why the Protestants say, don't put your elbows on the table. See, it's a direct assault, if you want to say, against the Catholic Church. But this is, the Mass is so important because God wants communion with us. God wants us to be in communion with him. And he says this to Louisa, that he's going to teach us how to become living hosts. Okay, so he said that to St. Faustina. He told St. Faustina that you're going to be a living host. We're going to be living hosts. But then he teaches Louisa in Volume 15 and 16 how to become a living host. Now, for the last 2,000 years, we have been consuming Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And you are to become like Christ when you receive Jesus. Jesus now wants us to become his Eucharist. Jesus wants us to become his host so that he can consume us. He, you know, when you see a little baby and it's so cute, you go, oh, you're so cute, I could eat you up. Well, we're going to experience Jesus as our host, and we're consuming him. And then he is going to consume us because he sees himself in us. And God is only enamored, only in love with who he is. So he wants us to possess his divinity. He wants us to become like him. So when he said to this, remember when he said to the apostles, he says, you say to that mountain, move, and it must move. You say to that sycamore, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and it must obey you. We haven't learned how to pray yet the way we're supposed to pray. How many mountains have you seen moved? You know, He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to do what He has done. And this is the thing that's so important. It's not that... where was I? Okay. What line was that? That's awful.
First, honor and glory.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Honor and glory, the abundant fruit of the work of creation. And the unending feast began for the glorification of its work in my beloved Mama. And even though heaven was open to me, and many saints already possessed the celestial fatherland, when the celestial queen was assumed into heaven, we waited for her who had honored it so much and contained the true prodigy of the most holy divine will to make the first feast for the supreme volition, because she herself was the primary cause of it, having fulfilled the supreme will in everything. So Mary leads the way. Mary is the mother and queen of the divine will. Now we are going to participate with this, in this gift. So we'll end there, and we'll begin in 10 minutes, okay? Mm-hmm. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.